You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Hey, what's up, guys? Meridon here. Thank you for tuning into the Over Nerds podcast. I'm back from the dead again. This is the second time I've resurrected. Man, it was a hell of a week. 2 weeks here. The week before the playoffs, or right before the playoffs started, I was going to come out with an episode. Pulled my left side of my back out. Felt great. I was actually like it was pretty hard for me to breathe. And I was having massive spasms, so I decided to call off that recording in regards to my health. I'd rather just kind of wait that out. And then I was gonna make an episode after the finals, after the Titans just beat the piss out of everybody, but I kind of waited on it. And the reason I waited on it is I was expecting some movement to happen, as it usually does. The coming stages, we're not going to do that. I'm gonna make sure, as long as I don't pull my back out or die like I borderline did this past 2 weeks, I will be doing a episode right after the finals to kind of break down what's going on. So I just wanted to like kind of get that off my chest, where I've been. Sorry, I've been a little bit absent here. I've been trying to keep active on Twitter a little bit, but man, I was getting severe spasms in my left side of my back, and I was having trouble breathing. It was insane. It sucked. It really sucked. But I'm back. I'm feeling great right now. We're going to go over some signings today. I'm going to go straight into the picks of the coming week. Today is Wednesday, the 3rd of April. Games start back up tomorrow, Thursday, April 4th. So I'm super excited for that. I'm going to go into some power rankings, give my power rankings for Stage 2. And got actually a few things in overthoughts this week. So we're going to start off with the signings and the transactions that happened. The first one that was announced was Persia was signed. He is a flex support that played on Talon Esports. Talon Esports was one of the contenders teams over there in the, I believe it was Contenders Asia. He joins the Boston Uprising as a flex support. So they get a nice little addition there. Also, that Coco has announced his departure from the Dallas Fuel coaching staff. So hope the best to him. Coco was part of the unstoppable force that was Team Envy before Overwatch League came out. He was a pretty great player, fun to watch. It's sad to kind of see him go. Maybe he'll pop back up. Maybe he just kind of dropped out of Fuel to go work on some other endeavors. So we'll see. We'll see if he pops up. Hopefully. He was a great player. I don't know how he was coaching wise. Fuel was kind of performing about middle of the pack, maybe just a little bit more, a little bit higher. The Boston Uprising tank note. Pretty big name on the team. Note is a great off tank. Has actually switched with RCK of the Dallas Fuel. So now Note plays for the Dallas Fuel, RCK going over to the Boston Uprising. And Baby Bay actually is moving. And I'm kind of happy about this because we haven't seen Baby Bay yet this season. It's going to be nice to see him on stage again. Before we had the GOATS meta, he was on Widowmaker on an awesome DPS, but it was really, really fun to watch Baby Bay perform. So he goes on over to the Atlanta Reign. And speaking of Atlanta Reign, pretty big news that DeFran has announced his retirement from professional Overwatch to focus on his stream. I'm pretty sure a lot of people saw that coming. I kind of saw that coming. You can tell he wasn't serious about being in the league. I know he had a lot of fans. It was pretty, it's pretty funny when I was out there this past March watching the Atlanta Reign play, and he stepped out and the crowd, you know, went a little wild. But he is going to focus more on his stream, so he's no longer going to be playing with the Atlanta Reign. So that kind of explains that signing a little bit there. And the Washington Justice part ways with coach Obizil. Ugh. The hell. I don't know why the heck that was so hard to say. Bayman is also stepping down from his head coach position for the Paris Eternal. And then they picked up Fifi, great name, Felix Munch, a.k.a. Fifi, is the head coach after Damon decided to step down. It's actually Damon, not Bayman. Damon actually signed on as an assistant coach for the Dallas Fuel, so you got a little bit of some exchange here in personnel. Stellar, who was a player on the Toronto Defiant, announced that he was going to retire, so they are losing Stellar. And the Atlanta Reign signed FRD from Gladiators Legion. So is actually pretty busy. The FRD signing, the announcement of Stellar being picked up or retiring from Toronto, Damon, and Fifi all happened today. So we have some very relevant news going on here in the Overwatch League world. It's interesting to see how it'll be interesting to see how these players kind of react to their new teams. I'm actually really excited, like I said, to see Baby Bay. See if they're going to use him in DeFran's spot. So that would be that'd be pretty cool to see, and see how FRD pans out with them as well. I really hope with the introduction to the new hero Baptiste, maybe the GOATS meta may die. I don't know. Let me know on Twitter. Tweet at me. Tell me how wrong I am. It would be nice to see, maybe not see it die, but maybe a composition that can challenge it step up to the plate. You know, we get Dive every once in a while. You see it a lot on Gibraltar. And pretty much everything else is GOATS. You'll see Dive from time to time on other maps, but mainly it's GOATS. And if you've been watching Overwatch League this year, you know it's GOATS, GOATS, GOATS. So it would be nice to see something change here and get to see some of these faces, you know, pop in on these teams. Like Baby Bay showing his face on the Shock if maybe it wasn't 3-3. So, yeah, hopefully Stage 2 brings a little bit more excitement on that front. All right, going straight over to the picks of the week tomorrow, April 4th at 7 p.m., the NYXL take on the Philadelphia Fusion. And the way that the Fusion have been playing, I picked NYXL. Now, I know NYXL did get beat by an underrated Dynasty team, but Philly's tanking right now is super suspect. They've been playing so inconsistently. It bothers me to say this about them just because I love them so much, but I'm a realist. When my team is underperforming, I call it out. And the Fusion are underperforming at this moment. They're still up in the top five here of my power rankings, but they have a pretty high potential of falling a little more. But the first game, NYXL versus the Fusion, I picked the NYXL to beat the Philly Fusion there. The second game of the night is the Boston Uprising versus the DeFranless Atlanta Reign. I'm really, really, really curious to see how Atlanta Reign kind of picks up the pieces from losing DeFran. Love him or hate him, he's a great player. So whether someone like Baby Bay can fill those shoes, fill that position, I don't know. We'll see. I actually picked Boston Uprising. They did lose note, like I said, to in favor of RCK. So that'll also be a pretty interesting thing to see. him adjust to his new team, because they'll more than likely play him. Dallas Fuel was actively playing RCK throughout Stage 1. So we'll see how he adjusts to the new team. Yeah, Boston Uprising over the Atlanta Reign. And the third game for the night is the Shanghai Dragons versus the LA Gladiators. I have the Gladiators taking that one. I feel like their performance against the Atlanta Reign in week four, stage one, week four, was the inaugural season Gladiators form coming to life. So I hope that they follow up with that and start, you know, picking up some games now instead of ending a stage on a very extreme mediocre result. So I have them beating the Shanghai Dragons. Now, the first game on Friday, April 5th, is the Paris Eternal versus the Guangzhou Charge. I have the Paris Eternal taking that one. It's about time they start showing their true colors. I really felt like they are underperforming right now, and they have a squad in line to perform at a higher level than they are. The Charge are still another one of those teams that's just, like, so up in the air with me. Like, I'm not really sure what to expect out of them. I've end up catching a lot of Paris Eternal, and I see a talented squad there that just isn't executing or executing up to the standard that I held them at. But I do have the Paris Eternal taking the match against the Guangzhou Charge. The next game is the London Spitfires versus a struggling Florida Mayhem team. Going with the Spitfires here, or Spitfire, god damn it, why do I always say Spitfires? The Spitfire. They have been a pretty extreme disappointment after Stage 1. The reigning grand champions of the inaugural season finished outside of a playoff spot, which was shocking to many. Still think they have a better team than the Florida Mayhem. Florida Mayhem have been struggling. I feel bad for them. The next game is the Defiant versus the Justice. Got Toronto Defiant on lock here. Justice also pretty problematic team. Won their first game at the very last opportunity they could in Stage 1. And then the last game for that night is the San Francisco Shock versus the Valiant. I see the San Francisco Shock all the way there. Sunday, April 6th, Seoul Dynasty versus the LA Gladiators. I think it's going to be a great game. I have the Seoul Dynasty taking it, but I have a hunch that it's going to be pretty close, especially if they carry on that performance from the end of Stage 1. That's the Gladiators. They carry on that performance at the end of Stage 1. We're definitely in for a good match there. It's a good way to start off Saturday. The second game on Saturday is the Fusion versus the Mayhem. I was talking to one of my buddies from my Overwatch team that I play on regarding Philly not letting the Mayhem take another game from them. So Philly over Florida here. I gotta think that Philly's not going to let that happen again. Judging how inconsistent they are, I don't know. You never know. The second game here is the Toronto Defiant versus the Boston Uprising. I have the Defiant taking that one. The second to last game is the NYXL versus the Dragons. I have NYXL taking on the Dragons. Dragons have a little bit of a tough week here ahead playing the Gladiators and the NYXL. So I have NYXL taking it over Shanghai. And the last game is the Chengdu Hunters versus the Paris Eternal. And I feel Paris Eternal are going to go 2-0 to start off Stage 2 there, beating the Chengdu Hunters. Now, on Saturday, it's five games. That's a lot of games. Sunday, wrapping up Stage 2, Week 1, is the San Francisco Shock versus the Guangzhou Charge. I have the Shock taking that one. The Atlanta Reign versus the Spitfire. I have the Reign taking that. The Vancouver Titans, the Stage 1 champions, up against the Hangzhou Spark. Definitely have Titans taking that one. And then the Justice versus the Hunters. I have the Hunters over the Washington Justice. So, going to go right into power rankings. Number one, Vancouver Titans. They are just unstoppable at this point. And I am starting to really love Bumper. All that smack talky he's got, it's ridiculous. Titans weren't challenged pretty much the entire way. There was the one game against the Charge that was close, 3-2. But other than that, pretty much unchallenged until the grand final, which was a great grand final, Titans versus Shock, where it went all the way, went the distance, and the Titans end up winning that series 4-3 to take home the Stage 1 championship. Definitely well-deserved. Definitely, I would say, sort of a surprise. I thought the team was going to be really, really good, judging how they were part of Runaway. A lot of the members are from Runaway and Contenders, which was a really good high-performing Contenders team. I wasn't expecting them to be this good, like lights out, unstoppable good. So I have the Titans at number one. Number two, San Francisco Shock, definitely. I've had them in the top 10 this entire stage. There were some bumps in the road kind of in the beginning of stage one, but they picked it up and kind of proved themselves to be in that number two spot. Again, took the Titans to seven games in that best of seven in the grand finals and unfortunately dropped it. I was actually kind of pulling for the Shock there. I wanted to see the Shock win. It's nice to see these different teams. It was nice to definitely see the Titans there. But the Shock last season, as Toxic and I explained throughout the season last year, that they were kind of like almost in a rebuilding kind of phase in the inaugural season, which was kind of weird because it's more of just like a building phase when they got Sinatra and Super on the team and they didn't turn 18 until I believe it was stage two. They didn't turn 18. So they kind of like were banking on a later stage push. And they sort of kind of got that. It's nice to see them now with, you know, all their teammates now mature and able to play and not, you know, sitting on the sideline because of their age. And they definitely show that they're a force in the league this season. Number three, even though they were 3-1 by the Dynasty, is the NYXL. They were completely unstoppable, just like the Titans were during the stage one, I guess you'd call it regular season of stage one, or the regular matches, the non-playoff matches. They were undefeated 7-0. The Dynasty really showed up, and that's who I have at number four in the playoffs. They were a team that was kind of always on the cusp of like, yeah, these guys are really good, or yeah, they're okay. They made the seventh spot and beat the NYXL, and then got rolled by the Titans. But they proved to me that they are another team that people shouldn't take lightly. They're definitely kind of making up for their end of stage mishaps from last season and proving once again, like they were in the early seasons of the inaugural season of Overwatch League, that they're definitely a force to be reckoned with. Number five, I put the Fusion there at number five. The reason I put the Fusion at number five is because, again, they're super inconsistent. They have a great team. They have great talent, but super inconsistent with their tank play. Especially out of Sado. I think that Poco's for the most part been on point, unleashing some Poco bombs as usual. It's mainly like their Achilles heel right now is Sado. His overextensions, his great play on Winston, and then his like meh play on Reinhardt. Like, this is why a lot of people want Fraggy in. But I have them at number five. Number six is the Defiant. That's another team that I'm like sort of like on the bubble of like they're like right there at like number five, number four, like four through six kind of is like, in my opinion, you can kind of substitute these teams with each other. But I put the Defiant at number six. I really enjoy that team. Another team that's actually really surprising me, judging by the Contenders teams that the majority of them came from, O2 Ardent, who have in the past struggled in contenders, and now they're coming into Overwatch League and performing very well. So that's great to see. It's good to see some expansion teams up here in the top 10. Number 7, the Boston Uprising. Yeah, they did just switch Note, who is a great off-tank, with RCK, who is another pretty damn good off-tank. So we'll see how that adjustment works for them. But I have the Uprising at number 7. Number 8, I believe maybe a little bit of a bold move, but is the Gladiators. Like I said, when they played against the Atlanta Reign, like, we saw some really good Gladiators play. This was the Gladiators that everyone was thinking was going to come out of stage one from the get-go and didn't. So I have the Gladiators number 8. I feel like they're gonna do very well this stage. Number 9, I have the Reign. I have the Reign a little bit further down because of their loss of Defran. I feel like Defran's Zarya was beyond, like, on point. Especially the play that everyone knows about on Hollywood. That was just insane. And just his game sense. So they're definitely gonna miss him for sure. But throw Baby Bay in there. I'd like to see how that dynamic changes. I have them at number 9. Number 10 is the Fuel. Definitely, like I said, with the Uprising got RCK. Fuel got Note. Note's a great off-tank, so like to see how much of an impact that plays with the Fuel. I have them at number 10. Number 11 is the Spitfire. I can't put them in the top 10 right now. They haven't really proven anything other than a disappointing stage 1 finish. So I like to see some of that insane London Spitfire play from last year. I think it's another one of those teams that falls victim to GOATs. You have a lot of people taken off of those DPS spots that they carried so easily on last season that now they're forced to play different roles like Zarya and Brig that aren't really their strong suits. I have the Charge at number 12. I really like how Charge gave the Vancouver Titans a run for their money in the second week of stage 2. They did get beat down pretty hard in stage 4, 4-0'd by Vancouver, but I like that fight there. I like Hotpa. Another one of those teams, like I've said, I need to continue to see more out of them to want to put them higher. Number 13 is the Outlaws. A team that's on the cusp of being really good, but is just middle of the road enough to, like, not have a lot of confidence in that. I love the team. The team has made, like, almost no changes. They do have Dante now, which is awesome. But they still have the same core of guys who all have a lot of talent, but just have not been able to perform on stage at as high of a level to bring them into the top 10. Still love that team. Still love Muma. Still love Linkser, the whole crew over there. So I have them at 13. Number 14 is the Shanghai Dragons. I really want them to prove me wrong this week. They have the Gladiators and they have NYXL. I think that, like, they have a sliver of a chance against the Gladiators. I really feel like the NYXL are going to beat the crap out of them. But I'm pulling for them. I have a soft spot for the Dragons. Love my girl Giggory. She still performs really, really, really well on the Overwatch League stage. Number 15, everybody's favorite skins, the Spark. I think out of the 3 new Chinese teams, the Spark are the team that I probably know the least about, but I know that they've been performing at slightly under par, but not like the Valiant. So I have them at 15. I'd like to see that get pushed up there a little bit. Number 16, one of the most underperforming teams, in my opinion, probably behind the Spitfire, is the Paris Eternal. They just can't seem to get it going. They have a lot of really good players from Eagle Gaming on top of Soon and Shadowburn. I know that they usually interchange Shadow Burn in soon, but I still have seen some pretty suspect play from both of them on Zarya. Another team that I feel does not benefit from goats at all, having to give Shadow Burn on Zarya and soon on Zarya as well. Soon's known for his Tracer play. Shadow Burn's known for his Genji play. I do know that he did play a lot of Pharah, which was interesting, and he did play Zarya from time to time. But in my opinion, they're underperforming pretty badly. So I have them at number 16. Number 17 is one of the most interesting teams in the league, the Hunters. They're not afraid to switch off something other than goats. They will switch to goats if the going gets tough, but they'll run a pharmacy. They'll run comps that we saw back in the first season of the Overwatch League, and they'll roll them against goats. And sometimes they're really, really successful at it, and other times they're forced off to play goats, which kind of sucks to see. But I'm definitely enjoying the viewing experience with the Hunters just because they switch it up. It's not 3-3. They'll, like I said, run the pharmacy. They'll run comps. They'll run a Hanzo or a Widowmaker rather than just the standard goats comp that everyone's bored of watching already. Number 18, the Florida Mayhem. They're just so blah. I really want this team to do well, but I just can't put them. I can't take them out of the bottom of the league. They're just not that good. I really, again, want to see them prove me wrong, but they just, compared to the rest of the league, they just don't even come close to stacking up. Same goes for number 19, the Washington Justice. They just won their first game last stage, their last chance they could, against the Florida Mayhem. So that team is another team that's struggling mightily. Maybe they got some practice in during this little break here. Maybe they're the real deal now. Maybe they can go and, you know, pick their heads up and start, you know, outperforming other teams rather than getting beat down most games. And number 20, no changes, LA Valiant. This team is the team most affected by goats. Even Kareev tweeted out, like I've said before, just asking goats to die. It really sucks watching this team struggle because I like a lot of players on their team. I love Custa. I love Kareev, Agilities. They have a really solid group, but they just can't play goats well. There's just no spark there. Their best game was probably against the Fusion, the game that I saw. I was having a freaking heart attack where they took Fusion the distance. And Fusion ended up winning, but you know, there were portions of those games where they didn't look terrible. Both teams looked pretty trashy that game. But that was pretty much like the only game that I've seen the Valiant play where they actually had some life, and it was not really in the best presentation of life they were there to give. So those are my power rankings. I have two things in overthoughts. Baptiste is now in comp. I want to hear your thoughts on Baptiste. What do you think about Baptiste? I've played him a little bit. Initially, so when I go into PTR and play new characters, I usually just go in the training range because as much as I want a real life example of how he's going to play by jumping into a quick play, he just gets instant locked. It's just going to be frustrating. You can do the 6v6 unlimited heroes, but it's just going to be 6 Baptiste versus 6 Baptiste or 6 new heroes versus 6 new heroes. And it just kind of, like, to me, kind of sucks. So I've played him a lot in quick play. He's a lot less overpowered than I thought he was going to be. I thought he was actually going to be a lot more overpowered, which is good. I feel like he's pretty balanced. But now he's in comp this week, starting yesterday, April 2nd. Tweet at us at the Overnerds on Twitter. Let me know what you have to say about that. What do you think of Baptiste? Do you think he's OP? Do you think he's a little underperforming? Is he making an impact for you in comp? Do you like playing him in comp? Let us know your opinion, your thoughts on Baptiste. If we get some opinions via Twitter, I'll bring some up next episode. And the last thing I had is they announced a new Lucio statue. It's like $175. Their statues are pretty expensive, but man, are they well done. This Lucio statue looks freaking awesome. I will put a link in the description of this episode of the Lucio statue on the store. It's pretty awesome. Kind of took me by surprise. I was just checking Facebook at work, and I looked down, and I see that Overwatch said something like, oh, what did they say? Something with Lucio. And it turns out it was this new Lucio statue. I freaking love it. Well done again. Again, a little on the pricey side, but if you're a big fan of Overwatch, it's worth it. Toxic has the gigantic D.Va. It's like $400 statue of D.Va, which is pretty freaking awesome. I also know another guy at work that has the Doomfist one. He showed me a picture of that. Another impressive statue. But yeah, new Lucio statue. Go out there and get it. It's definitely looks amazing, as the usual. That is going to do it for episode 32 episodes in. We got stage 2 starting tomorrow. I'm super excited to get Overwatch League on my Twitch, on my computer, on the TV again, get some entertainment in there. So to go over some social media stuff, you can find us at The Over Nerds on Twitter. You can send us an email or any requests at theovernerds@gmail.com. Find us at facebook.com/theovernerds, the_overnerds on Instagram. You can find me, myself, Meridon, at The McGaming on Twitter and twitch.tv/MidAtlanticGaming. Big shout out to the Mighty Lions. That's the Overwatch team I'm on. We run pugs every Friday. I'll leave a Discord link in the description. Come join us for pugs every Friday. If you stick around for pugs, you'll also see when we're starting to recruit members for teams. I know that may be happening soon. So definitely get your foot in the door if you want to play some Overwatch with us. It's a lot of fun. I know our team is averaged in plat. So, like low plat, 2600 plat. So, if that's something that you're interested in, or you just want to play plugs and pugs and be a part of a community, check it out. It's also at mightylions.org. Pretty cool organization. You can also find our podcast on the Geekscape.network. Geekscape is awesome for allowing us to host our podcast on there. Check out the Geekscape podcast today. Pretty awesome stuff. We got Jonathan London, the fearless leader of Geekscape. He has a weekly podcast where he talks to guests in the nerd world, in the nerd realm. Pretty awesome stuff there. They also have a lot of other nerdy podcasts. Horror Movie Night's awesome. My buddy Matt Kelly, who actually got our foot in the door in Geekscape, he's got his Horror Movie Night podcast. There's also some other good stuff. Seven of Wine's always great if you're a fan of Star Trek. The Disneyto podcast is also picking up. It's pretty awesome. It's two of my colleagues at work. They talk about Disney movies together and indulge in some alcoholic beverages. Really, really good stuff there. Also, if you liked our intro, check out Max Brown. Description, the link is in the description. He's on SoundCloud. Makes awesome, awesome tunes. If you need something done for maybe your podcast, or you're looking to get something done for a YouTube page, definitely hit that guy up. It's very affordable, and we got a great product out of it. So I'm very, very happy. I love our intro. When I edit this, I'm going to jam out to the intro like I do every single time. All right, that's going to do it, guys. I hope you enjoy this week's games, and definitely tweet at us. Let me know about Baptiste. I want to hear you. I can't hear you. It's just me here. So let's hear that. All right, have a good one, guys. See ya.
The smell of the video store. I love this place. do you remember when you could just look at the walls of covers?
We had to choose just by looking at the cover and reading the crappy synopsis.
It was, you were leaving with one.
And the only way to know what new movies were coming out is you actually had to watch the trailers instead of skipping them.
Right, we didn't have the internet to look it up. We had one guy named Todd behind the counter that would tell us what was good or not.
And Todd strangely liked way too many romantic comedies.
Yes, but you always knew when the boobies were coming because Todd made sure.
Oh, and remember all the awful CG we had to put up with in the mid-90s?
We talk about that a lot, don't we?
Join us on Analog Jones and the Temple of Film, where we talk about VHS tapes.
And we wax nostalgia like none other.